This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host from the D here in downtown Las Vegas, Tim Murray. You can follow me on Twitter at @1TimMurray. Joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Matt Eumanns. You can catch the two of us on VSiN Primetime as well as Jonathan Von Tobel. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Matt, coming off of a so-so week, a couple bad beats in there. We don't have to bring up the Baylor and Colorado finish, but we're ready to rock and roll. We're licking our wounds. All right, the preseason's out of the way. Week 1 through 4, now we're ready to rock and roll here, week 5.
Yeah, you're at the D, and this feels like deja vu because a week ago we were saying we want winners, we want more winners. That's the same thing this week. Hopefully I can start to win a little bit more. Had a couple of good plays last week, but again, under 500, need to turn that thing around. So let's go. We want winners.
We want winners. Mike Singletary channeled inside of us. We're ready to rock and roll. We've got four games between top 25 teams on Saturday. So let's get it rolling like we always do as we break down the biggest games on Saturday.
The main course.
Yeah, there it is. The main course. We're hungry and we're ready to eat. And let's get into the biggest game of the college football season to date as number 4 Alabama hosts number 2 Georgia. It is the first time Alabama has been a home underdog since 2007 when they faced LSU early on in the Nick Saban era. 7:30 Eastern start time there on ABC. There is no one in this world who likes home dogs more than Matt Eumanns. And here you got Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama Crimson Tide, Matt. As a home dog, are you grabbing those points?
Yeah, home dog's been biting my hand this season so far. BYU finally cashed one on Saturday night against K-State. But, man, home dog's off to a rough start. That's been a big part of my problem here early in the season. So, of course, I'm going to keep doing the same thing, the definition of insanity. But now you don't want to change your principles as a handicapper. I'm playing Alabama +2. Half of the bets on the money line at +110. But here you go. Alabama, I believe, from what I can see, has a much stronger offensive line right now. And Georgia's the more banged up team, really, on both sides of the ball. But it starts for me with the Bama offensive line and Jalen Milroe, our quarterback. I watched his 5-touchdown performance against Wisconsin a couple weeks ago. Pretty impressive. And that was a game I thought the Tide could have won by 50+. But also, I'm not sure this Georgia team deserves its lofty power rating and also deserves to be essentially a favorite in Tuscaloosa.
Oklahoma State and Kansas State should be a great one as both of these teams coming off of a loss. Oklahoma State losing to Utah and Kansas State. Much to our delight, Matt, late night we get BYU home. Unfortunately, I also stayed up late and watched the Liberty Flames rip my heart out as East Carolina, who led 17-0, could not get a cover. But I digress. Let's get into Oklahoma State and Kansas State. K-State here, Matt, is laying 5. Alan Bowman has not looked very good, and things haven't gotten right there for the backfield as well. So what is your take on Oklahoma State, Kansas State, as right now Kansas State is laying 5 here against the Pokes?
Yeah, Tim, I waited for your angry text during the Liberty game Saturday night, and it never came, which is okay, but I noticed you were tweeting about it.
So yes,
you
was.
Did get the frustrations out there one way. So last week, one of our best bets was on BYU as a home dog against K-State. This week, one of my favorite plays is K-State as a home favorite here against Okie State. Now, it was 38-9. It looks like it was lopsided, and the score ended up being that way. But again, K-State outgained BYU 367-241. K-State ran the ball for 228 yards. Avery Johnson, the young quarterback, did have 2 picks. And it was, it's a tough atmosphere. Like I said all along, BYU's one of the strongest home field advantages in college football, and things just kind of spun out of control against K-State. Now, as far as the Cowboys go, Alan Bowman, veteran quarterback, seems like he's been around forever off a 2-pick performance. Ollie Gordon rushed for only 42 yards last week in that loss to Utah, and the Utes outgained Okie State 456-285. That was total domination. I know the score was tight, but it was domination by Utah. I like K-State to bounce back here under Chris Kleiman, one of my favorite coaches. I think it could be similar to the Arizona game a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night. The K-State won 31-7. I see a big bounce back for the Cats here.
Alan Bowman will remain the starting quarterback there for Oklahoma State against Kansas State here. And this was a team that I joked with Brett McMurphy, who is a Oklahoma State guy, and he said, I asked him why I shouldn't bet Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 this year. He said, too obvious with all the production coming back. And so far he's been spot on here as Oklahoma State. Something seems a bit off there. Total sitting at 57.5 for this game. You mentioned Ollie Gordon, 11 carries for 42 yards last week, and he has yet to eclipse over 50 yards in a game on the ground against an FBS foe. All right, we head to South Bend, Indiana, where Notre Dame will be hosting Louisville. 16th-ranked Notre Dame, 15th-ranked Louisville. This will be a streaming-only game. Get your Peacock subscriptions ready. 3:30 Eastern there on Peacock. Marcus Freeman did let the world know, as it is a green-out game there in Notre Dame Stadium, that Notre Dame will be wearing their green jerseys against Louisville. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because last year they went all green against Ohio State, and for about 59 minutes and 57 seconds, it seemed like a great thing. And then Ohio State punched it into the end zone and got the victory. As for this game, I know Matt, who will rejoin us on the other side of this break, is on Notre Dame at anything under a touchdown. He laid 6. For me, I'm looking at Louisville team total under, which is 20.5. I believe DraftKings has that minus $1.50. I was able to lay a little bit less juice, but that's the way that I'm looking. Hard to trust this Notre Dame offense, but when you look at the Irish this year, played up to the level of their competition against Texas A&M, obviously very down to their competition against Northern Illinois and Miami of Ohio, and then blew out Purdue. It was interesting to look this up. Marcus Freeman, in games where Notre Dame is either a underdog of 7 points or a favorite of 7 points and anywhere in between, so in that 14-point swing at Notre Dame as their head coach, 11-3-1 ATS. So trends sometimes could be your friends, but the point being that more often than not, he gets his teams ready for these particular spots. Like I said, Matt is on Notre Dame here. Anything under a touchdown for me, I think one of the best defenses in the country, specifically in that secondary with Benjamin Morrison on one side with Xavier Watts there in the secondary, Christian Gray. I think Louisville struggles mightily to get the ball through the air. I think it's more of a slugfest. I do think Notre Dame's going to have success on the offensive side. Under 20.5 team total for Louisville. Illinois won a big one last week on the road in Nebraska. Can they keep it rolling and knock off Penn State? We'll talk about that game next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Already in the books, Georgia-Bama, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Notre Dame, Louisville. Best bets from Matt on Bama, plus the points. Kansas State laying it with the Irish, and a team total under for me on Louisville at 20.5. Louisville also dealing with a little bit of injuries. Game time decision, their top corner, Quincy Riley, who had a pick six last year against the Irish. Cullen Lacey, who's been out the whole year with a fractured collarbone. He could play this week. And Jaden Thompson, one of their top receivers, also out as well. So Louisville dealing with a handful of injuries, as are the Irish, who are missing 3 starters on that offensive line dating back to the start of training camp. So 4 total games between ranked opponents on Saturday, and the biggest point spread will take place in Happy Valley, State College, Pennsylvania. Matt, 7:30 Eastern on NBC, Penn State taking on Illinois, and right now they are an 18 or an 18.5 point favorite. James Franklin is asking for whiteout energy there. He wants it to be booming in Happy Valley, and Bert Bielema, I know his name's Brett, he said they're calling for whiteout energy, whatever the hell that means. So, all right, we got a little thing going here. I like it. But anything for you in Illinois, Penn State, a impressive performance last week for the Illini to win on the road at Nebraska?
Yeah, it's also a tough situation for the Illini. Back-to-back road games going from Nebraska to Penn State. And this is going to be a jacked-up Penn State crowd waiting for Brett Bielema and the Illini. And what the Illini do best under Bielema is drag you down to their level, into the mud. And they did that. They were tougher in the trenches, tougher on the offensive and defensive line than Nebraska. They're just a tougher team in general, and that's how they won that game in Lincoln a week ago. I think this is going to be a grinder. I was tempted to take the 18.5 with Illinois here, but there's a lot of sharp handicappers and a lot of sharp money showing up on Penn State. So I'm going to respect that, and I'm going to stay away from the Illini as a big dog here. I'm taking another big dog in the Big Ten, but as of right now, I'm staying off the Illini bet. Drew Aller, by the way, the sophomore quarterback from Penn State, Tim, think about his TD to interception numbers. Since he took over as a Penn State starter a year ago, I believe it would be 33 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, including an 8-to-1 ratio so far this season. So you can knock him for his performance in some of the big games, including Ohio State and Michigan a year ago, but he's put up some pretty impressive numbers. He's not going to turn the ball over.
If you're into the betting splits, a lot of people like looking them over at vsin.com, one of the many perks you get with your VSiN Pro subscription. As of Thursday afternoon, 88% of the bets on this game on the Illini, and as contestant and past winner of the Friday Circa Football Invitational, Chris Felica would say, this might be a dog with fleas situation. So, yeah, stay away from me on this one. Penn State laying a big old number against the Illini. Should be a great atmosphere. 7:30 Eastern on NBC. So those are the main course games, 4 games to get to. But, you know, Matt and I, we love to dabble with a little spicy food, whether it be some tacos, whatever it may be. So let's get to those matchups that seem a little extra in fuego this weekend.
Spicy matchups.
Well, normally, Matt, I wouldn't lead with this, but apparently the talk of the college football world resided in our city, Las Vegas, with the unique situation revolving around Matthew Soluka, the now former quarterback of Fresno State, of UNLV. So Fresno State is facing UNLV at Allegiant Stadium. This game will be a 3:30 Eastern kickoff on FS1. Total sits at 49.5 market wide, 1.5 out there for UNLV. You and I both have best bets on this. JVT and I actually had a impromptu VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier this week where we discussed this situation and the change to Haj Malik Williams as the starting quarterback. So I'll let you have first crack on this one. UNLV, Fresno State, no more Matthew Soluka. Enter Haj Malik Williams, the Campbell transfer, as the new quarterback for the Rebels.
Yeah, I talked about this at length with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money Wednesday afternoon, too. So we don't have to get into the big picture stuff and how this might impact college football in the future. I just keep the focus on this game. So Matthew Soluka leaves the team. Apparently, some of his teammates are not that upset about it, including Ricky White, the star wide receiver, who's only got so far 10 receptions and 3 touchdowns through 3 games. Ricky White probably feels like with a new quarterback, he's got a chance to see the ball a little bit more. It's bizarre that a quarterback who's completing 44% of his passes would walk into the coach's office and say, I need to get paid. I need to get paid more. Well, I actually feel like the Rebels are going to rally around this. And you're right, it's not often UNLV football, very seldom, is the talk of college football across the country. That's kind of been the case the last couple of days because of this unprecedented situation with the quarterback bailing on the team 3 games into the season. I do think the Rebels are going to rally around this. A lot of times they want to prove that they can win without Soluka. Haj Malik Williams, not much of a drop-off, if any. In fact, if you watch him on tape, he looks like a guy who could be a dynamic playmaker who is a veteran quarterback, started a lot of games at Campbell for the Camels. And his backup, Cameron Friel, is a quarterback I like a little bit, too. He's a pretty good passing quarterback. I bet this a Fresno pick. I would say a 1, 1.5, whatever you got out there, you know, bet UNLV is a pick against Fresno. And I know that there were plenty of sharp groups who were out there trying to take Fresno +3, 3.5. And get the best of the number before it moved. I totally understand that. But when the market moved to pick, That's when I pounced on UNLV and played it. And I like this situation, the way it sets up. I actually like the Rebels more now without Sluka, with Haj Malik Williams, the quarterback, because I think the Rebels are going to come out and play with more of an edge.
Jackson Woodard, captain on the defense, retweeted a picture of Haj Malik Williams on Twitter, and it said QB1. His response, "Bout time. Let's ride." Steve Cofield, local radio host in Las Vegas, also part of the UNLV broadcast team, came on VSiN Primetime on Wednesday night and said when the team was told that Haj Malik Williams and Cameron Friel would now be the two quarterbacks moving forward, apparently there was an uproar of applause in that meeting room. So, yes, it does feel like there is a bit of a Ewing theory here with UNLV moving on from Matthew Soluka, however you want to describe it. I know lots of hot take people are out there. We don't care about that. We care about betting. And for me, I'm with you. I think this is an overreaction in the market. I don't think there really should have been a drop-off whatsoever in this point spread. Brad Powers agrees. His best bet, he jumped on VSiN Primetime, Matt, on Wednesday night, is UNLV on the money line, and I'm with him. So whatever you got there, I will roll with UNLV. I got it at minus 110 at MGM earlier this week. It's now around minus 120, minus 125, but I am with you on UNLV. So we are rolling with the Rebels here with a change at quarterback and Haj Malik Williams. Should be a fun one Saturday afternoon at Allegiant Stadium. Same time, different network, CBS, 3:30 Eastern. In the Coliseum, USC taking on Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has been on the big stage just a couple weeks ago, and the Badgers lost their starting quarterback, so a big loss for them there. But now the question is, Matt, how do the USC Trojans respond after having their hearts ripped out in the Big House on Saturday afternoon? They were a 4.5, 5-point favorite, up 24-20. They do not get there. Anyone who had the under, like I did, that was a pretty gross loss to have, as there were multiple opportunities for that game to stay under. I digress. You tend to like the dog here in this spot. What are you looking at here with Wisconsin at USC? Number as high as 16 in the market.
Yeah, I hope I'm looking at a Wisconsin team that's not so outclassed like it was against Alabama a couple weeks ago in that 42-10 blowout. That was really more lopsided than that. The Badgers were not too competitive in that game, whether it was going to be Tyler Van Dyke or Braden Locke quarterback, because I didn't think they even had a chance of Van Dyke at quarterback. Locke has got some experience in this offense. I think they're going to be okay with him. Tim, I was very disappointed the way Lincoln Riley coached the game at Michigan. He wasn't aggressive. He didn't step his foot on the gas and put the opponent away when you had a shot there in the fourth quarter. I thought the play calling too conservative, and then you left your home underdog opponent some life, and that's always dangerous. And then you got some missed tackles on defense. There's no excuse for losing that game when the Michigan quarterback passes for 32 yards. Alex Orji, when facing a one-dimensional offense like that, you have to be able to shut it down. Well, the Badgers are going to be somewhat one-dimensional, but Braden Locke can pass it a little bit. I'm going to trust Luke Fickell on my numbers in this spot. I made USC a 12-point favorite, and I probably still have a little interest in the dog at that point. I took 16 whiskey here. I thought the number was just a little bit too inflated. And this is the type of game that the Badgers can usually get the opponent into a grinder. And USC is not used to playing those grinder type of games. Not good at playing those grindy type of games against a team that's physical defensively and wants to run the ball. So we'll see if the Trojans can handle that. I took a shot with a big dog here.
All right, big dog for Matt. Will they be barking? We will see. How about in Waco, Texas? Will the Baylor Bears bounce back after a devastating loss last week?
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Breaking down the Week 5 card of the college football season, I'm Tim Murray, as always joined by Matt Eubanks. A best bet just logged by Matt Eubanks. We'll give you a best bet recap at the back end of the show, but he is riding with the Badgers of Wisconsin there. Catch a 15.5. You can get a 16 out there at South Point if you're here in Las Vegas. All right, Matt, I don't know if you even want to mention the name Baylor, but I will talk about this game briefly. You and I both faded Kansas State last week and bet on BYU. That made us very happy. Unfortunately, you were on Baylor, and that made you, I would imagine, want to vomit a little bit after the way that game unfolded. And the big question here, how does BYU respond to a big-time win in a primetime environment like they had there where, let's be honest, as we talked about, the 38-9 score, maybe not indicative of how that game really played out in the box score. And then you look at Baylor. You lose that game in devastating fashion to Colorado. How do you ultimately respond here against BYU? So, or against Baylor, I should say. So noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central time. I think that Dave Aranda, Matt, gets the best out of his squad here in this particular spot. I think BYU feeling a little bit happy, one of just two undefeated teams in the Big 12, I should say, moving forward, ranked, got that fresh ranking smell. You know, I like to fade that a little bit, like we saw last week with Northern Illinois, like we saw earlier this year with Georgia Tech when they went on the road to Syracuse. So I think this BYU team might be feeling itself a little bit, a little fortunate to get that win with the punt return for a score and a scoop and score last week against Kansas State. Tricky spot to quickly turn around, go down to Waco. I'm going to bank on Dave Aranda's squad not quitting on him and backing him here, and I'm going to lay the three with the Baylor Bears. Do you even dare look at Baylor anymore, Matt, after that disgusting finish to the game last week?
Tim, you said that with such enthusiasm, like you took some enjoyment out of it. You know what? I don't want to look at Baylor this week. I don't even want to talk about Baylor. I want to think about Dave Aranda and his idiotic defensive strategy at the end of that game and consider betting Baylor this week. If you were going to bet this game, I think Baylor is probably the right side to do it. Off a hideous defeat like that, where you snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory, you got to think that a good coach is going to get his team to come back strong and try to wipe the memory of that away with a big win at home in Waco. And on the flip side, I like BYU. I like this team. I like BYU a lot more as a home dog and not necessarily in this situation as a road dog. It would be Baylor or pass. I'm just going to pass on this one. I wish I had passed on Baylor last week.
Absolute brutal finish to that game. Let's go to Minnesota and Michigan. If you were on Michigan, you were happy. I'm sure our producer Wyatt over here wearing his Go Blue t-shirt was very happy with the way that game finished. But you mentioned, Matt, Alex Orji and his numbers last week and the fact that Michigan did not have a first down in the second half until their final drive of the game. So the question begs, how will Michigan fare laying numbers this year? Week one against Fresno State laying a big number. They won, did not cover. Week three against Arkansas State won, did not cover. Now, they had decent-sized leads in both of those games. We've seen the market take the 10. It's now 9, 9.5. Matt, any interest on this game with a microscopic total of 35.5 for the Gophers and Wolverines?
You know, I do have a little bit of interest in the Gophers, but you know, this number's come down so much from what you thought it would have been a couple of weeks ago that I'm not sure you're getting much, you know, you've lost too much point spread value here with Minnesota if you're going to play the dog. Max Brosmer, a decent quarterback for the Gophers, 65% completion so far, 5 touchdowns. He's been picked off 3 times, sacked 8 times. Minnesota got dominated, which was one of my few winners last week at Iowa at Minnesota. Gophers got dominated and steamrolled by the Hawkeyes in the second half a week ago. Might be a bit of a hangover effect from that game, but really what I took away from it is that this Minnesota team is not that good. And I'm not sure Minnesota is a team you want to bet in the big house this week, even getting the points if you're not getting double digits. I think this Michigan team, and this is no disrespect to what Michigan's accomplished in recent years, it's pretty obvious it's living off the reputation of the last couple of years, and this team is phony. And Michigan's going to take some losses here down the road, Tim, but it's not probably not going to happen this week against Minnesota. By the way, when are we going to see the Wolverines play a road game? Do they have any road games on the schedule?
I don't know. I think that's a nice little scheduling quirk there for the Wolverines. They do head to Seattle next week to take on Washington for a primetime game. But, yes, the whole month of September they got to play there in Ann Arbor. I was interested in Minnesota earlier in this week in double digits, but right now at this price, not going to play it. But I think Michigan is a team hard to back as a favorite, especially with that low total. Staying in the Big Ten, let's go to the Big Ten Network, noon Eastern, a game in which you and I both have a win total bet. We are both on Indiana over 5.5 wins, as is Wes Reynolds, the pride of Indiana. And they've already got 4 wins, so we're feeling pretty good about where we sit for this win total. But, Matt, I was listening to a college football podcast earlier today, and the question that was posed was, can Indiana be undefeated going into their November 23rd showdown against Ohio State? We are getting a little bit over our skis on Indiana. I like me some Kirk Cignetti. He wins. Just Google him. But for the love of God, let's pump the brakes a little bit on this program here. They've gotten off to a great start. They're 3-1 ATS. They're only non-cover week one against FIU, the Fighting Pit Bulls, and they could not get that as a 25.5-point favorite. They won by 24. But Maryland's not a bunch of bums. And interesting to look back to last year. I know it's a complete changeover of coaching staffs. Tom Allen out, Kirk Cignetti in. But, Matt, last year in College Park, Maryland was laying 14.5, won by 27, and now they're catching 7 here against Indiana. Now, we've seen some big market movements all from the summer game of the year lines to now, and some of those have come home. You look at Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, Michigan, et cetera. But I think Maryland's got a chance, especially as a full touchdown underdog. I like Billy Edwards. I think he's a solid quarterback. This team probably should be 4-0 if they don't cough it up late against Michigan State. I know that doesn't look like a very quality loss there at home, but I'm going to fade this love on Indiana, and I'm going to take a full touchdown here with the Turtles on the road at Indiana.
I mean, you make a good case for it, and I understand that case completely, because if you look at what the Hoosiers have done so far, they've blown out Florida International, Western Illinois, UCLA, which is a bad team, and Charlotte. So it's going to be a bit of a moment of truth here for Indiana to find out how legitimate is this team. Can you lay a touchdown at home against Maryland and cover that type of number? And I actually laid a little bit less than 7 this week with the Hoosiers. I laid 6 on this game. I laid 6.5 on this game. But I believe in Kurt Cignetti and this Hoosiers team. And I do think they're going to roll over some of these Big Ten opponents that are coming up here on the schedule. Curtis Rourke makes a huge difference at quarterback. So far, 75.5% completions, 8 touchdowns, no picks. He's only been sacked 2 times. Hoosiers also have a running game. They got a competent coach. They have a lot of confidence. Tim, I certainly understand the case of taking the Terps and the points. I think, like I said, this is going to be a bit of a judgment game for the Hoosiers. We're going to find out how real they are. I think they're real to a certain extent. That's going to be interesting here, but I laid less than 7 with Indiana.
Yeah, it's going to be one that could have some weather with Hurricane Helene possibly bringing some rain there for that game. So certainly something to keep an eye on. All right, one more game, Matt, before we hit a break. Utah, they did not have Cam Rising, but they still really, as you alluded to earlier in the podcast, were able to dominate Oklahoma State. So now Utah, the late night game on ESPN. Our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be there in Salt Lake City for this one. Utah laying 10 right now against Arizona. A little bit of Arizona money hitting the market on Thursday, bumping this from 11 down to 10. No bet for me on this one, but I have not been impressed by Brent Brennan's squad so far this year, as the Wildcats in their biggest spot of the year got beaten up pretty good by K-State last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm not going to play Arizona here either. In fact, I've said this about Brent Brennan a lot of times. He's a decent coach. He did a nice job turning around a bad program at San Jose, but he makes a lot of game management mistakes, and his teams aren't always the most prepared for games. And again, Utah, I was very impressed last week with how Cam Rising to go to Okie State and outgain the Cowboys 456 to 285. So I don't want to jump in the way of this Utah team right now. And Arizona's going to win a few games here down the stretch. You get some big-time talent, and I'm just not sure it's going to be this spot, and this is a stay away for me.
All right, we have some more games to get to. We got a rapid fire through some of these contests. We'll get to letdown spots. We will also get to the game on the Smurf Turf, one of my favorite games of the week. It's a late-night game. You know, Matt and I love those late-night games. Washington State and Boise State. Will we have a live dog in Boise, Idaho, as the Cougars rolling in there with an unbeaten record? It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, just a reminder, when I say that's the end of the podcast, it's actually not the end of the podcast, because we are going to give you a breakdown of the two juicy Friday night games as we head to the state of New Jersey as well as Miami. So stick around, a breakdown of the two Friday night games after the conclusion of the podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always by Matt Eumanns. We'll get to our best bet recap here in just a little bit, but more games to get to, including a late night affair on the Smurf Turf out in Boise, Idaho, as freshly ranked Boise State, number 25 in the country, hosts Washington State. And this game, I cannot wait to sit down and watch it on Saturday night. And I was a little confused, Matt, why I saw some under money hitting the market earlier in the week, and it feels like it might have been that dummying up situation, because now here comes that over money back into the market. So right now we sit with the number sitting Boise State 7, total 64 and a half of 65 out there. John Mateer, if you haven't seen him, he is a treat to watch, the quarterback of Washington State. He has put up some monster numbers. We saw him last week against San Jose State lead them back to victory. Now, he'll make some mistakes, as he threw an overtime in an overtime interception, I should say, but this guy has thrown for over 1,100 yards. He's rushed for over 100 yards in two games against Texas Tech and San Jose State. I think this Boise State defense can be had a little bit. That said, I don't know how many stops the defense is going to get for Wazoo against this offense led by Ashton Genty, the superstar running back there for the Boise State Broncos. So, Matt, for me on this particular game late night, you know, you and I like to play dogs, and we like to play unders more often than not. I'm going to take a dog in Washington State. I was able to get 8 earlier this week. 7's okay, but still would like that hook, and you might still get it before kickoff. But I'm going to take the over here as well. I was able to grab 63.5, and the money's starting to come back in, which makes me feel a little bit better. But I'll do a half unit on the over, half unit on the dog here, and what should be a really fun game with New Year's Six, or I should say college football playoff implications, with Boise State right now kind of in the driver's seat for that G5 bid.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually think a bet on Boise State to win the Mountain West would be a smart bet at this point. And I like this Boise team. I'm not going to lay the points here. I'm probably not going to bet the over, but that's the way I would look on the total. It looks like 63.5 is low in the market out there. And this Washington State team has played some entertaining games so far. Portland State, Texas Tech, Washington, and San Jose should have lost the game to the Huskies. I only say that because I thought Washington really screwed up the end of that game down there inside the 10-yard line. How about last week against San Jose, the 54-52 two-overtime game? That was one that San Jose let slip away, is going to regret for a long time. So the Cougars pretty fortunate to be 4-0, Tim, going into this game at Boise State on Saturday night. I think this is going to be a really entertaining game. I'm not going to take a side. If I do bet it, I might end up playing this over the total of 63. But there's a lot to like about this Boise State team. And not just Ashton Genty, who's averaging 10.5 yards per carry and has 9 rushing touchdowns so far. Maddox Madsen, if I can say that, has been a pretty effective quarterback. And I like this Boise team, too. I think to win the Mountain West and probably to win this game. but I'm not crazy about laying the 7.
Yeah, and the numbers come down a little bit. So 7, certainly the buy point for me, the lowest I would go. I do think we talked about this on VSiN Primetime, too, with the high total. This has every makings of grab a cocktail and live bet this one because you're probably going to get some good numbers on this game, right. Maybe on both sides. All right, a couple letdown spots to run through here. We talked about some of them, and let's just hit through them, and we'll do a 3 at a time, stop, and then get some thoughts here. So Michigan laying 9 against Minnesota. Last week, the come-from-behind win over USC. Do we see a little bit of a letdown here for Michigan? We talked about this game earlier. BYU, they're down to a 3-point underdog, which is the buy point for me at Baylor, coming off of their 38-9 win over Kansas State. Baylor, a best bet for me. And then, Matt, sorry to continue to bring it up, but what do we do with Colorado off of a Hail Mary to force overtime, then Travis Hunter forces a fumble as Baylor goes into the end zone. They storm the field. UCF coming off of a bye. Big noon kickoff is going to be in Orlando. There's going to be a lot of hype going on there at the bounce house. UCF laying 14 against Colorado there coming off a bye. So certainly a good situational spot for UCF on that one there on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, this is our Colorado-UCF game. Certainly feels a lot like the Colorado-Nebraska game a couple weeks ago. And that was one where the Cornhuskers got up 28-0 at halftime, looked like they were going to win by 50. And they kind of just played around the second half and won 28-10. 14's too high of a number for me to lay here with UCF. I do like UCF to win the game and possibly big, but I'm not going to lay those points. And the other two games, I think you said it, it's got to be the bounce-back spot for Baylor. And I would like to fade Michigan, but I don't think Minnesota's a team I want to do it with. I do see some spots here coming up, like Washington next week, where I think we can bet against the Wolverines. But I don't want to take less than 10 with Minnesota.
All right, 4 other games has potential letdown spots. SMU laying 6, 6.5 against Florida State. They beat TCU last week in the Iron Skillet game. SMU, pretty happy about that. Sonny Dykes, head coach of TCU, gets ejected from the game. After the game, Rhett Lashley tweets out a picture of him cooking eggs in an iron skillet. Navy, this is a great sandwich spot. I just can't trust Trent Dilfer and UAB to be prepared for this. But Navy coming off of a huge win against Memphis, one of my few winners last week, Matt. I love that spot all since the summer. They win by 12. They look really impressive with Blake Horvath as their quarterback. They got Air Force next week, their second most important game of the year, and they got to go on the road to UAB this week. So really weird spot there for Navy. Buffalo plus 6.5 against UConn. They beat Northern Illinois. Really had no business winning that game. They get the win in overtime. And then James Madison put up a 70 spot on North Carolina, and they are taking on Ball State today. So very interesting spots there. That number, James Madison laying 20.5. For me, Matt, of these 4 games, I'm going to tail Brad Powers. One of his favorite plays of the week is UConn laying 6.5. I wrote up UConn for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, I should say. I really like this UConn team, and they've looked the part so far this year. They got bet heavily week 1. That did not come to fruition against Maryland. They covered with ease against Duke, and last week absolutely hammered FAU. So of these 4, I'm going to lay the 6.5 with UConn against Buffalo in some potential letdown spots here in week 5.
All right, I did want to point out you did a really nice job last week talking about that Navy spot against Memphis. That was a good handicap, worked out perfectly, and that's the type of stuff you're looking for as a handicapper. Also, you took 14 with Buffalo against Northern Illinois, correct?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So played it right there in a couple of those letdown spots a week ago. The games you just talked about there, I don't have any plays on those games. But those do look like some good letdown spots to pounce on, too.
Yeah, Florida State interests me. God, that offense is just so absolutely.
Boy, Florida State. You know what, Tim? I did want to mention that Florida State's not going to win many games.
No.
And the Seminoles were lucky to win that game against Cal last week.
100%. Cal, big one next week, by the way, hosting Miami. Late night game there. Should be a fun one out there in Berkeley. All right, let's wrap up the show like we always do, recapping our favorite plays of the weekend.
Best Bets Recap.
Ooh, I like that. Nice little automation. Well done. All right, Matt, lead us off. Your five best bets for week five.
All right, Tim, I'm probably going to end up with about twice as many plays by Friday night or Saturday morning. But right now, I'll tell you, this is what I've got. And let's start with the biggest game. Alabama, +2 against Georgia. Actually, half of my bets on the money line there, but not a big difference. 114 games. That's the first time Bama's been a home dog since Nick Saban's first year as coach. And Kalen DeBoer, 8-2 ATS in the dog role. This is first big game. Really big game as Bama coach, and I think he's going to pass the test here. So Alabama +2. We're going Notre Dame -6 against Louisville. That number's ticking up today. So hopefully if you bet the Irish or plan to bet it, you can get something less than 7 there. But I like Notre Dame -6 against Louisville. K-State -5 against Okie State. We're going UNLV. I bet this will pick him, but I'll play call it UNLV on the money line, -120, 125 against Fresno. And then probably the one I like the least of the five plays, but I like the team a lot. And we're going to cash this win total bet, Indiana -7.
All right. You also had Wisconsin +16 as well on there. So
and whiskey.
And whiskey.
That's right, yeah.
All right. Let's run through mine. We have our first disagreement of the year. I don't like that. I'm on Maryland +7. So we're going head-to-head here. Matt and I are – I'm going to go Baylor -3 in a spot to fade BYU. UConn laying the 6.5 with a hat tip to Brad Powers on that. Washington State +the points against Boise. Over. We're going to split the unit on that. Half on Washington State, half on the over. North Carolina. Yeah, that's right. We're going to back the Tar Heels of a 70 spot allowed against Duke. And then Louisville, team total under 20.5. That's going to do it for the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. This has been Tim Murray with Matt Eumanns. Rate, review, and subscribe.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, bonus time, ladies and gentlemen, as we just gave you our best bet recap. And for Matt, he is going to be adding 6 plays. He threw in Indiana as well. So, Matt, I don't like going head-to-head with you, but my plays, Baylor -3, Maryland +7, UConn -6.5. Washington State +7.5, half unit. We'll go over 63 on the other half unit. North Carolina +3, and Louisville under team total 20.5. A fun little fact about the UNC game, Matt, as we didn't talk about there. Mack Brown actually fired Manny Diaz back in 2013. And then last week, apparently, in the locker room, because they played like such crap, he told his team he would resign if they would like him to. Apparently, the team vehemently disagreed. They are going to rally behind. I just think that's an overreaction. I think Duke is not very good. I bet under their team total, under their win total of 2.5 in the ACC. So that was kind of an off-the-radar play for me. But I needed to get to 3, but I do like North Carolina. I think we might ultimately get there before kickoff. But that would be the last ad for me, UNC +3 against Duke. All right, Matt, we have 2 games on Friday night. Let's start with Virginia Tech at Miami. I have faded Miami once. I got burned. You tried it with South Florida, burned. I kind of want to do it again here against Virginia Tech, but man, this team is really damn impressive. It almost is they're spitting in the face of Mario Cristobal trying to mess things up for him.
Yeah. Exactly. Well said. And I've tried to bet against the Hurricanes twice. He got blown away both times. One with the Gators in the Swamp, and last week with the Bulls in Tampa. How about that? South Florida had a 15-14 lead. And I was thinking, all right, this is the way I want this game to go. Next thing you know, it's 50-15. So that didn't go so well. Cam Ward off to an incredible start, 72% completions, 14 touchdowns. 2 picks. He's only been sacked 2 times. And everything's going right for Miami right now. Do you want to keep trying to bet against this team? Well, it would be Virginia Tech or pass for me. The number's 17.5, and for right now, it's going to be a pass. I was pretty impressed by the way the Hurricanes blew away South Florida after that tight first half in Tampa a week ago.
Yeah, I wanted to get in on Virginia Tech here, and when I saw the number ticking up, it touched 20 earlier in the week. I was thinking maybe we get 21. Is that where we go in on the Hokies? Hokies might be one of the more disappointing teams in college football this year, opening up the year with a double-digit favorite role against Vanderbilt, losing that game outright. They were a dog last week, they were a home favorite against Rutgers. They lost that game as well. So Virginia Tech has not lived up to what people expected for them this year, sitting at 2-2. But maybe this is a spot where they put it together. Kyren Drones has seemed to be a bit off, but I'm like you. I don't want to get burned again with this Miami team. There will come a time when we're going to be right in fading Miami. I don't know if it'll be Friday night down there in Coral Gables, but it will be a spot that I'll monitor, but not ultimately get to with Virginia Tech. The other game on Friday night, pretty interesting one. We've got Washington against Rutgers. I just mentioned Rutgers, a really nice win this past week against Virginia Tech, going on the road to Blacksburg and getting that victory. Almost gave it away, but ultimately hold on. They outgained Virginia Tech by over 100 yards. Ethan Calliak-Manis, the former Minnesota quarterback, has been doing a pretty good job there with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Kyle Manungai is their starting running back. This game initially, I looked at Rutgers, but I don't know, Matt. I've gotten a little bit spooked off. The line movement's going against him here, so I think I'm going to sit this one out as well. Total of 44.5. Jed Fish's squad has to come across the country short week, so you would think a lot of this is a situational positive for Rutgers, but I think ultimately I'm going to be on the sidelines for this one. Anything you like in Washington at Rutgers on Friday night at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, it's interesting because I bet Washington over its season win total this year, and a lot of people didn't like that bet because Huskies didn't have many starters back. But Jed Fish brought in a lot of talent from the transfer portal and some players from Arizona, and I thought the Huskies are going to be better than expected. So far, I would say so good, but not great. Washington has beat Weber State, Eastern Michigan, and last week's 24-5 win against Northwestern, about as ugly as it gets. And that loss to Washington State, pretty disappointing 2 weeks ago. That was one I thought the Huskies should have won. But when I was looking at the schedule before the season, I thought, well, Washington's probably going to drop that game at Rutgers. But I like Washington at home against Michigan on October 5th, the next week. This is a really long trip. And that doesn't mean that the Huskies have to lose a game because they're traveling cross-country to play on Friday night. We just watched Stanford go to Syracuse, classic ACC rivals. Stanford won that game at Syracuse. So the Huskies can certainly go to Rutgers and win this game. But, Tim, the movement, the betting market has scared me away. I want to bet Rutgers here. I think Greg Schiano's got a little bit better team and a better situation here, better spot. But, man, the betting market's all the way down to Rutgers -2. What am I missing? I made Rutgers a 3.5-point favorite here. I may end up on the Scarlet Knights, but as of now, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm the same way with you, Matt. So those are the two Friday night games for week number 5, Virginia Tech at Miami, Washington at Rutgers. So should be a fun week. 4 matchups between top 10 teams. Matt, can I interest you in Purdue at home catching 10 against Nebraska?
Probably not. In fact, I ended up betting Oregon State pretty big last week, and it paid off. I think this Purdue team is completely out of sorts, and the coaching staff looks clueless. I do think, you know, as a home dog better, I would give the Purdue the first look catching double digits. I mean, you got to show up and play well at some point, but I'm not sure. I'm probably not going to do it here. I think Nebraska wins. I'm not sure Nebraska wins in a blowout. How good is Nebraska? Do we really know, Tim?
We do not know, and I was surprised to see them lose last week. We're recording this, and we want to end it and send it off to you as soon as possible, but I just want to mention this, Matt. We already talked about this game earlier in the podcast. This is kind of the bonus section, but the line movement right now in Arizona-Utah certainly indicates that is Cam Rising going to be out again? This number has plummeted to 7.5. So Utah might once again be without Cam Rising. I don't see anything concrete out there in the market, but it certainly seems that way if you're reading this market accurately, where this was 11 yesterday and is now 7.5.
Yeah, but again, like we talked about, last week without Cam Rising. Utah rolled up 456 yards of offense at Oklahoma State. So I'm not sure how much – I'm not sure he's worth that much to the number.
Yeah, I mean – that was an impressive performance, needless to say. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks for everybody for listening here. A little bonus time here, breaking down the Friday games. Once again, our best bets in the final segment there of the podcast as well. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to producer Ryan as well for all of the help. We will talk to you next week. Let's have some winners. As Matt said to open the podcast, channeling his Mike Singletary, we want winners, and hopefully we have some this week. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.